Thank you, Lord. We just thank and praise God for today, for the praise that just went up. Hallelujah. And we're going to let our pastor come up. We have guests in the house. Amen. 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 I am showed up. Hallelujah. And we're going to let our pastor introduce our man of God today. And we just want to thank and praise the Lord for all those that have come out. Thank you. Thank you. If this is your first time, you are blessing us. Thank you. Come back again and again and again. We love you. We praise you. We thank God for you. And just keep on holding on to his unchanging hand.
Man, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, isn't it? Hallelujah. We're so thankful today. I was thrilled to hear from Overseer Brooks earlier this week. And as he always does, he just sends me a text to check on me. And he said, this Sunday I'm going to come just to support, just to be here. Hallelujah. And I got to thinking, I said, maybe he'll come preach. So I asked him to come preach, and he said yes readily, and we're so glad. We're thankful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I thank God for the fellowship and the favor I have with District Overseer High Call Brooks. His parents named him right, because he does have a high call on his life. Hallelujah. And he is a man of God, and he has gone out of his way to welcome us into IAM some 6 or 7 years ago. And he's been steady. He's been checking on me. He's been encouraging me. He greets me one of those Alabama football bear hugs. Hallelujah. He's strong physically. He's strong physically, and he's strong spiritually. I don't have to tell you, those that know him, he's mighty in the scriptures. He is a stellar individual. He's a graduate of the University of Virginia Law School. He's a member of the Alabama Bar. He travels. He's in demand. He's working. He's in demand as a lawyer and as a preacher. And as the scripture says, he is married to a virtuous woman. And because he's married to his virtuous woman, he's known in the gates. Praise God. And we're so thankful that he's here today, hallelujah, to bring the word of God. And so most of you are standing. Those of you who can stand, if you tended to a baby, just stay where you are. But those of you who can stand on your feet. We want to honor the man of God. We want to honor the sacrifice he made to get up early to drive here from Birmingham. We want to honor him, praise God, for he and his wife, hallelujah, First Lady Camille Brooks, I always mess up her first name, for being such leaders in this region. And we thank the Lord for them being here, for him being here today. And let's greet him by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's say it again. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
One more again. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'm going to do a little preliminary because I don't preach alone. Hallelujah. Amen. I certainly thank God to be here in Nashville on this beautiful December 1st. Amen. God's been good. I got here and I started looking around like, man, Infinity Church invaded. Hallelujah. Certainly thank God for the saints from Biloxi who are here. Thank you, Jesus. I do want to thank God for my drivers who made it here. Brother and Sister Taylor, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not saying we outran our angels, but they were huffing and puffing by the time we got to Nashville. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. But thank God for traveling mercy and grace. One of the reasons we're here is because of love. Amen. You have a wonderful, powerful, loving, caring leadership group here, starting with your pastor and first lady. They are the best of the best. They are the best of the best. People of integrity, people of love, people of care and concern. That's not the usual thing. That's not usual. Hallelujah. Everybody sometimes has their own little hidden agenda as to why they're doing what they're doing. But they're so transparent in their love for God's people. I do want to thank. So one of the things I try to do as the district overseer is visit the churches in my district. And I had been doing that. I'd been slipping in on brothers. And in September, I was telling a brother, I need to go up to Nashville. And sure enough, the last Sunday in September, in walks Pastor Perkins at our services. I'm like, man, he beat me to the punch. Lord have mercy. But thank God. Thank God for him. Thank God for his family. One more thing, and then I'll get to the word of the Lord. I often tell people that real character is kind of like toothpaste. When you squeeze that toothpaste, whatever's in it comes out. One of the things the Bible says for us to watch our leaders, you know, how do they act? What is their character when they're under tremendous amount of pressure? Because when they're going through some of the greatest tragedies in their life, whatever's in them comes out when that pressure is applied. I have had the privilege of being around Pastor Perkins and First Lady when pressure has been applied in their life, and I can stand here before God and this host of witnesses and tell you, these are holy people. These are people who care about God, hallelujah, and God's people. Come on, we can give God some praise for that. Thank you, Jesus. That's how you know. All right, let's get to the word of the Lord. Are you ready for it? Hallelujah. Me too. Me too. Me too. Let's go open up your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. And we're going to look at verses 3 through 7. 1 Peter, first chapter, verses 3 through 7. And before I go further, it goes without saying that our presiding bishop, he sends his love and care to the people of God here. I let him know I was coming, and he was excited. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 7. If you have it, say amen. I'm going to read verse 3. You'll read verse 4 and so on, and then we'll read verse 7 all together. Is that all right? Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, read that, please. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready revealed in the last time. Verse 6, read that, please. Verse 7, all together. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, God, and we thank you. We thank you, God, for life, for health, and for strength. We ask, God, that you bless us today. Strengthen us today, God, in the name of Jesus. Cause us to understand your scriptures and hide your word in our heart that we sin not against you. And, oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for an overflow of the Spirit of God into this place. God, do it to your glory that you might be glorified. We count all of these things done. We count the people of God here blessed, Lord God, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, all in Jesus' name. And let the people of God say, amen. You may be seated here in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when I read verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I just wanted to stop and give a brief explanation regarding that verse of scripture. Because sometimes, you know, people in their earnestness simply just don't understand what the word of God is saying. Not that I'm sure you do, but some don't, so let me get at it. Specifically, I want to talk about two phrases used there. The Lord Jesus Christ, and then the phrase Jesus Christ. All right. One of the things that is important to understand is that Jesus was an authentic human being. In other words, he wasn't some angelic creature that came down from heaven. Hallelujah. He could be hungry. He could be thirsty. He could get sleepy. Hallelujah. And the big clue to understanding this verse of scripture is that is the last phrase of Jesus Christ from the dead. So clearly, Peter is only, in this verse of scripture, only speaking of the humanity, the flesh of Jesus Christ, because God cannot die. If God dies, we all die. Because in him we live, we move, and we have our being. This verse is only talking about the flesh of Jesus Christ when it uses those two phrases, the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ. Not the Spirit of Christ, which he is God Almighty, the Father of all creation. And that's why it tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the scriptures in the word of the Lord, they will describe the humanity of Jesus or the divinity of Jesus, and then sometimes both in the same scripture. I'll give you a verse of scripture that focuses on the humanity of Jesus. In Matthew 1 and 21, the Bible says, and she, referring to the Virgin Mary, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It is focusing on the flesh of Jesus Christ as a sacrifice to atone for the sins of all men. Now, notice the phrase in the scripture we read above, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus was more than flesh. He wasn't just some little baby that came and grew up and was wise and did some miracles. No. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Thank you, Jesus. So let's deal with that. One of the verses of scripture I teach to the saints over and over again, And quite frankly, I really actually request them to memorize it. Because if you memorize this scripture, nobody will be able to confuse you concerning the identity of Jesus and who our God is and what our God is. It's John 4 and 24. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. Well, if God is a spirit, then he's not one person. He's not two persons. He's not three persons. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. With that basic understanding, we see this truth played out over and over in the word of God. Hallelujah. Concerning the flesh of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 1 and 18, it describes his birth. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ was the father of the flesh of Jesus Christ. And now the prayers of Jesus make sense. Hallelujah. The flesh of Jesus Christ prayed to the Spirit of Jesus Christ that made that holy flesh. Hebrews 5 and 7 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. In other words, he gave us a perfect example of how we ought to operate in the world. When we get tired, when we are sad, it is up to us to open up our mouths and to call on the Spirit of God that should be dwelling in us if we are born again according to the Scriptures. That flesh, that perfect, holy, sinless flesh prayed to the Spirit who was the father of that flesh. It's not hard to understand at all. Indeed, the Scriptures will neatly fall into place when we understand who Jesus is. The Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So we know what the Spirit of God was doing in the body of Jesus Christ. It was drawing all men to him, every sinner to him, every person who needed salvation was drawn to him. God, who is a spirit, dwelt in and all around the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And when we are born again, according to the Scriptures, born of water, born of the Spirit, then we should have the same Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, dwelling in and all around us. Because the God that we serve is an omnipresent God. He's a wonderful, powerful way maker. We are never far from our God. Hallelujah. According to your faith. Hallelujah. If the word of God can be nigh you, even in your mouth, if you cry out with faith. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me give you my interpretation of 1 Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the Spirit of Christ that dwelt in the body of Jesus Christ, which according to the Spirit's abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. The Spirit resurrecting the body of Jesus Christ from the dead. What was Peter doing? What was Peter doing in that scripture? He was preaching the gospel. He was preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing, beloved, hallelujah, we can apply that same gospel to our lives. We can die to sin. It is called repentance. We can be buried with him by baptism in water in the name of Jesus Christ. And we can receive the same Spirit that resurrected the body of Jesus from the dead. Oh, you might as well give God some praise in here for the death, the burial, and the resurrection personally applied to our own lives. Now, I want you to hear this. Hold up, brother. Hold up, hold up, hold up. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The new birth. Listen to this now. The new birth, hallelujah, is for the remission of sins, according to Romans 3 and 25. It is for the remission of sins that are past. Hallelujah. Through the forbearance of God. Which means once saved, ain't always saved. The new birth is for those sins that are past. So any sins you pick up in the present or in the future, they have to be dealt with. My pastor, he used to always say, we got to repent to get saved, and we got to repent to stay saved. Hallelujah. So after being saved according to the scriptures, don't you start resting on your laurels thinking you all that. After you get saved, don't relax and act like you done already made it into heaven, because you ain't there yet, baby. Hallelujah. There is still work to do, and faith without works is dead, being alone. Being born again is the starting line. It's not the finish line. We still have to live a holy life. And so Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the Bible goes further and says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. That you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We still have to live holy. Why am I still pressing hard toward Jesus? Because I can't coast off of being born again. That anointing was only for a season to deal with past sins. I now have to be led by the Holy Ghost day in and day out. I got to pray day in and day out. I got to live a holy life day in and day out. I got to study God's word day in and day out. I got to put this body before God day in and day out. And only then will I be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth my fruit in my season. Hallelujah. It was only for a season. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Now don't get it twisted. Yes, my God, we should be thankful if we are born again according to the scriptures. We should be grateful. We should be giving God praise that he gave us a mind to repent, to be baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a blessing, Lord God, but don't stop there. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep pressing toward the mark. The title of the sermon is, because it's only for a season. It's only for a season. Let me talk about a natural season. A season is primarily caused by the earth tilted on its axis, orbiting the sun, which means different parts of the earth receive varying amounts of direct sunlight throughout the year. Because the earth's position in relation to the sun, this leads to changes in temperatures and daylight hours that we've just been experiencing, and we experience them as seasons. And God put these rules into place when God said, let there be light, and there was light. But I don't want you to miss this point. At some point, a season comes to an end. Hallelujah. At some point, a season comes to an end. In 1 Peter 1 and 5, we read it earlier, talking about God's people who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Thank you, Jesus. Just as the earth spins around the sun by powerful gravitational forces, so must we gravitate to our source of spiritual light God Almighty, by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Thank you, Jesus. Grace is the power, but our faith in Jesus Christ provides spiritual gravity so that we might remain connected to God. And during this connection, we will have seasons. Yes, we will. I want you to be encouraged. Hallelujah. Because if there's anyone who can understand seasons, that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our God. He knows there's going to be a time to plant, and there's going to be a time to pluck up that which has been planted. And hallelujah, there's going to be a season for planting his spirit, hallelujah, into his people, just like he promised that he would. He said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Hallelujah. And then there's going to be a season for reaping. He has already said he's going to reap that which he hath planted. Lord God Almighty. The Bible tells us at the bottom part of the fifth verse, God's people will be ready to be revealed in the last time. God will, hallelujah, his people will be ready to be revealed in the last time. The real question we've got to start asking ourselves as God's people, are we ready to be revealed as the saints of God in the last times? Hallelujah. In other words, saint, did you stay in position? Huh? Hallelujah. Did you stay where you were? Did you stay excited about Jesus? Did you stay where you were? Did you stay hungry and thirsting for God's word? Did you stay in position? Because when the rapture happens, our season on the earth will come to an end. So I want you to bear in mind, hallelujah, however we are when Jesus comes, that's how we will be in eternity. I hear the book of Revelation 22 and 11 telling us, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. No one here should ever want to miss the rapture of the church out of the earth. Nobody should want that. What I'm saying is, whatever season you are currently enjoying or enduring, hallelujah, I'm telling you, be holy in all manner of conversation. Hallelujah. That word conversation means not just what you say, but what you do, what you think. Hallelujah. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in our sight. Keeping in mind, my God, whatever's going on in your life, it is only for a season. But if you remain faithful to Jesus Christ, that reward is eternal. Go ahead and put a praise on that one. Hallelujah. Here's the last thing I'm going to say. I'm out your way. The old saints, they would say, trouble don't last always. But I want you to hear this, and I've been on planet Earth almost 60 years now. Good times don't last always either. Which means, whether good or bad, whatever we're dealing with right now, it's only temporary. See, sometimes we can get in a hard problem and we just start crying to Jesus like it's gonna last forever. I'm broke. Like I'm going to be broke forever. I'm sick. I'm going to be sick forever. Mm-mm. It's only temporary. In 1 Peter 1 and 6, we read it earlier, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Did you hear it? Though now for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. But it's prefaced with, though now, for a season. That phrase for a season means number. It means duration of. It means briefly. It could mean long. It could mean short. It could be for a while. Time makes up a season. We just don't know how long that season will last. Here, Peter affirms that even if we're going through hard trials, it's only temporary. It's only for a season. And the Apostle Paul, he added some hope to anybody in here who's going through. You got some stuff going on in your life where folk acting straight crazy, bat crazy in your life. I want you to know it's only for a season. Your children aren't acting the way they ought to be acting. It's only for a season. Your boss is treating you, hallelujah, like you want to be a runaway slave. But it's only for a season. There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That God, who is faithful, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. God knows your makeup. He knows the number of hair that are or are not on your head. And God knows you, every microbe, every cell that's in your body, Lord God Almighty. And he knows how to strengthen you through whatever you're going through. So when those bones are aching, I want you to know it's only for a season. But even when there's plenty of money in your pocket, baby, it's only for a season. It's only for a season. You brought nothing into this world, and it is certain you can take nothing up out of here. It's only for a season. I hear the word of God in Hebrews 11. Verse 24, by faith, the Bible says, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction, hallelujah, with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want you to keep in mind, even if sin is satisfying you right now, it's only for a season. And the truth at some point will be revealed that the wages of sin is death. I hear the word of God in Acts 1, after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verse 6, the Bible says, when they, referring to the disciples, therefore were come together, they asked of him, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. I want you to know this. There will be times in your life where you will have some huge problems, and you will begin to ask God how to solve them. And you know what? God ain't going to tell you nothing. He ain't going to tell you how to get out or how to get away. No, 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 no. But I don't want you to get discouraged. It's in those moments when you don't know what to do. You just trust in the Lord with all your heart. You lean not to your own understanding, Lord God Almighty. The Bible says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we shall know even as we are known. I hear the word of the Lord telling Daniel, he changeth the times and the seasons, and he removeth kings and he setteth up kings. So whether your life is going upward or you feel like you're on the downslope, I want you to know this is only for a season. Our focus is to give God our everything, to give God our all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, because we are preparing to be instant in season and out of season. That's right. To everything the Bible says there's a season. and a time to every purpose under the heavens. So be prepared to fight the good fight of faith. Baby, if you're in this thing called holiness, there's going to be some opposition, and you got to be ready, hallelujah, to bear your back up and say, for God I live and for God I die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when you mature, look at this, watch this, you can be going through some hard problems and you can still give God praise. You can bless God for who he is, not for the pain that you're going through, but the God who can take that pain away anytime he wants to take it away. Hallelujah. We got to go. We got to go through. And whether it takes a few days or many years, baby, that's all right. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, hallelujah, we shall reap if we faint not. Whatever the trial, whatever the tribulation, whatever the temptation, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. So let's go about the business of being the saints of God with our mind stayed on Jesus, not looking back, hallelujah, but pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to just give God praise and magnify God, because he's bigger than whatever problem. He's bigger than whatever situation. He's bigger than whatever we might go through. Put those hands together and give our God some praise in this place. It's only for a season. Stand to your feet all over the building.